The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, second chapter, text number 1 through 10, given by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, recorded in November of 1968 in Los Angeles.
Samjaya said, "Seeing Arjuna full of compassion and very sorrowful, his eyes brimming with tears, Madhusudana, Krishna, spoke the following words. The Supreme Personality said, 'My dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the progressive values of life. They do not lead to higher planets, but to infamy.'" Purport. The sense.
Now, Arjuna was sympathetic with his brothers and relatives, and he was practically crying with tears in his eyes. And Krishna says that it is non-Aryan, it is not befitting for an Aryan. Let's see. He was so compassionate, but still it is not approved by Krishna.
The Sanskrit word Bhagavan is explained by the great authority, Parasara Muni, the father of Vyasadeva. The Supreme Personality who possesses all riches, entire strength, entire fame, entire beauty, entire knowledge, and entire renunciation is called Bhagavan. There are many persons who are very rich, very powerful, very beautiful, very famous, very learned, and very much detached. But no one can claim that he is possessor of all these opulences entirely. Such a claim is applicable to Krishna only, and as such he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No living entity, including Brahma, can possess such opulence. Neither Lord Shiva nor even Narayana can possess such opulence as fully as Krishna. By analytical study of such possessions, it is concluded in the Brahma Samhita by Lord Brahma himself that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nobody is equal to or above him. He is the primeval Lord, or Bhagavan, known as Govinda, and he is the supreme cause of all causes. It is stated as follows. There are many personalities possessing the qualities of Bhagavan, but Krishna is supreme over all of them, because none can excel him. He is the supreme person, and his body is eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. He is the primeval Lord Govinda, and the cause of all causes. In the Bhagavatam also there is a list of many incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna is described therein as the original personality, from whom many, many incarnations and personalities of Godhead expand. It is stated in this way, all the lists of the incarnations of Godhead submitted herewith are either plenary expansions or parts of the plenary expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Therefore, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, the source of both Supersoul and the impersonal Brahman. In the presence of the Supreme Person, Arjuna's lamentation for his kinsmen is certainly unbecoming, and therefore Krishna expressed his surprise with the word kutas, where from? Such unmanly sentiments were never expected from a person belonging to the civilized class of men known as Aryans. The word Aryan is applicable to persons who know the value of life and have a civilization based on spiritual realization. Persons who are led by the material conception of life do not know that the aim of life is realization of the Absolute Truth, Vishnu or Bhagavan. Such persons are captivated by the external features
of the at the present moment they claim that we belong to the Aryan family, but they have not the qualification of an Aryan. The Aryan qualification is described there. Simply, Arjuna was little flickering. He showed his little weakness. And he was at once condemned as non-Aryan. Oh, you are just saying your symptom of a non-Aryan. And by Krishna. So the Aryan word is not ordinary. To become Aryan means a perfect human being as far as possible. That is Aryan civilization. Go on.
Such persons are captivated by the external features of the material world, and therefore they do not know what liberation is. Persons who have no knowledge of liberation from material bondage are called non-Aryans. Arjuna was trying to deviate from his prescribed duties, declining to fight, although he was a kshatriya or warrior. This act of cowardice is described as befitting the non-Aryans. Such deviation from duty does not help one in the progress of spiritual life, nor does it even give one the opportunity of becoming famous in this world. Lord Krishna did not approve of the so-called compassion of Arjuna for his kinsmen.
So-called compassion. He was thinking that by showing that compassion, he will be, eulogized by Krishna. But Krishna condemned it. Yes. That's the opposite. In other words, Krishna is very strict also. That is the qualification of Krishna and his associates. Vajjadapi kathor and kusumadapi kamal. Softer than the flower and harder than the thunderbolt. Two sides. When Krishna is strict, he is harder than the thunderbolt. And when he is soft, he is softer than the flower. These two examples are given. Vajjadapi kathor, kusumadapi kamal. So, Krishna is not lenient to his friend or to his devotee. Because that leniency will not help him. Will not help him. Sometimes he appears to be very hard for the devotee. But he is not hard. Just like father sometimes becomes very strict. That is good. That will prove how Krishna's and hardness will prove his salvation. At the end, Arjuna will admit, by your mercy, my illusion is now over. So this sort of stricture by from God on the devotee sometimes misunderstood. Because we are always accustomed to accept what is immediately very pleasing. But sometimes we'll find that we are not getting which is immediately very pleasing. But we should not be disappointed. We shall stick to Krishna. That is Arjuna's position. Go on.
O son of Pritha, do not yield to this degrading impotence.
Degrading impotence. He doesn't want to see his devotee a coward and impotent. So, the so-called qualification, impotency, niggard, that is not qualification for devotee. He must be very, and everywhere, very expert and fit. Krishna wants to see. Yes.
It does not become you. Give up such petty weakness of heart and arise, O chastiser of the enemy.
Especially addressing chastiser of the enemy. There is no excuse. You must be chastiser. Not that because I have become Krishna conscious, I will be very humble. You must be humble, but it can, in need, if there is need, you shall be thunderbolt. That is Krishna instructing.
Arjuna said, O killer of Madhu, Krishna, how can I counterattack with arrows in battle personalities like Bhishma and Drona who are worthy of my worship?
Of course, all explanations are not there. Here, these words, Krishna addressed Arjuna, a chastiser of enemies. And Arjuna addresses Krishna, Madhusudan, or the killer of the demon Madhu. Yes, you are addressing me as chastiser of enemy, but do you think my grandfather and my teacher, they are my enemies? You killed demon Madhu, therefore your name is Madhusudan. But you are asking me to kill my grandfather and teacher. That is the hint. It is all right that your name is Madhusudan, you killed one demon whose name was Madhu. But you are asking me Bhishma Sudan. Bhishma is my grandfather and Drona Sudan. Sudan means killer. So how can it be that? Now, that is the answer.
It is better to live in this world by begging than to live at the cost of the lives of great souls who are my teachers. Even though they are avaricious, they are nonetheless superiors. If they are killed, then our spoils will be tainted with
blood. This is another indication how superiors should be shown respect. Arjuna says, although they have become avaricious, still they are my superior. Avaricious, why? They have got full affection for me. My grandfather, Bhishma, has got full affection for me. And Dronacharya, I am his very dear student, so he has also my good affection for me. But because Duryodhana has paid them, he has accepted their service. Paid, so avarice. Simply for money, in spite of so much affection and intimate relationship, they have accepted the service of Duryodhana, counting on money. So therefore, they are avaricious. But in spite of their being avaricious, they are my respectful. This is respect. This is respect. That the respectful person who is my respectful, even there are some characteristics which does not command respect, still respect should be offered. This is respectful offering, yes. Sometimes it may be. The example is given in the Bhagavad Gita, you'll find. Apiche sudracharo bhajati mamananna bha sadhuriva samantam. Even a devotee sometimes found not acting properly, but because he has got that unflinching faith and devotion upon me, Krishna says, therefore he is sent. Only for that one qualification. He does not know except Krishna. So, to such person, even some flaws are found in their character. Just like we have impose some rules that illicit sex relationship and intoxication, meat eating, so many things. So, of course, intentionally one should not break these laws. But even sometimes we may find that there is some flaw in one's part. Suppose if I see somebody is smoking, but he is doing Krishna consciousness very nicely, so we should not deride. We shall give him concession to reform. That it does not mean that because he has accidentally smoking, that does not mean he has become immediately disqualified. As Arjuna is saying, although they have become avaricious, still they are my superiors. Still they are my superiors. This is called unflinching faith. In spite of seeing my respectful superior abominable, not willingly but by accident, I should not withdraw my respect. That is it.
Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. The sons of Dhritarashtra, whom if we killed we should not care to live, are now standing before us on this battlefield. Purport. Arjuna became perplexed in this connection, not knowing whether he should execute the fighting with the risk of committing unnecessary violence, although it is the duty of the Kshatriyas, or whether he should not and prefer instead to live by begging, because if he did not conquer the enemy, begging would be the only means left for his living. There was no certainty of victory, because either side might emerge victorious.
These are his causes of perplexities. How you are thinking, that has been tried to be explained. Yes. Well.
Even if there were victory awaiting them, because their cause was justified, still, if the sons of Dhritarashtra should die in battle, it would be very difficult to live in their absence. Under the circumstances, that would be another kind of defeat. All these considerations by Arjuna definitely prove that he was not only a great devotee of the Lord, but that he was also highly enlightened and had complete control over his mind and senses. His desire to live by begging, although he was born in the royal household, is another sign of detachment. He was fully in the quality of forbearance, as all these qualities, combined with his faith in the words of instruction of Sri Krishna, his spiritual master, give evidence. It is concluded that Arjuna was quite fit for liberation. Unless the senses are controlled, there is no chance of elevation to the platform of knowledge. And without knowledge and devotion, there is no chance of liberation. Arjuna was competent in all these attributes, over and above his enormous attributes in his maternal relationships.
Go on.
Now I am confused about this.
Yes, what is it?
Now I am confused about duty and have lost all composure because of weakness. In this condition I am asking you to tell me clearly what is best for me. Now I am your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. Purport. By nature's own way, the complete system of material activities is a source of perplexity for everyone. In every step there is perplexity. And it behooves one, therefore, to approach the bona fide spiritual master who can give one the proper guidance for executing the purpose of life. All Vedic literatures advise us to approach a bona fide spiritual master to get free from the perplexities of life, which happen without our desire. They appear like a forest fire which takes place without being set by anyone. Similarly, the world situation is such that perplexities of life automatically appear without our wanting such confusion. Nobody wants fire, and yet it takes place, and we are perplexed. The Vedic wisdom therefore advises that in order to solve the perplexities of life and to understand the science of the solution, one must approach a spiritual master who is the disciplic succession. A person with a bona fide spiritual master is supposed to know everything. One should not therefore remain in material...
This is a translation of a Vedic version. Acharyavan Purusha Veda. Acharyavan, one who has acharya as his guidance, he is supposed to know everything. Acharyavan Purusha Veda. That is the given there.
One should not therefore remain in material perplexities, but should approach such a teacher. This is the purport of this verse. Who is the man in material perplexities? It is he who does not understand the problems of life. In the Garga Upanishad, this is described as follows. He is a miserly man who does not solve the problems of life as a human, and who thus quits this world like the cats and dogs, without understanding the science of self-realization. He is called a miserly man. This human form of life is the most valuable asset for the living entity, who can utilize it for solving the problems of life. Therefore, one who does not utilize this opportunity is a miser.
As a miser does not properly use his asset. Suppose you have got $1 million, you keep it only, you do not use it properly, or you spoil it, then you are called miser. But if you utilize it properly and gain out of it, then you are intelligent. Similarly, Garga Upanishad says, the Garga makes distinction, two classes. One class of men, he says, Kripana. Kripana means miser. And another class of men, he says, Brahmana. Brahmins. So he classifies, Etat Vidityaja Prayati Sa Brahmana. This self-realization process, we shall die, it is sure. Every one of us will die. But we should not die like cats and dogs. That is the difference. We may die. We must die. Nobody can escape death. But before death, we must know what is self and self-realization. They are Brahmins. Those who are trying to understand what he is, what is his relation with God, and how he should live, they are called Brahmins. And those who are living like cats and dogs, simply eating, sleeping, mating, and dying. So they are dying like cats and dogs. So death is inevitable. That is also advised by Prahlad Maharaj in his instruction to his class fellows. Kaumanam acharit pragya dharman bhagavatam. My dear friends, from this beginning of life, we are now 5 years old, from this life we should try to understand Bhagavad Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma means to understand our relationship with the Supreme Lord. That is called Bhagavad Dharma. Manasam adhurvam, tadavya adhurvam. Although the life is temporary, but it is very suitable for self-realization. So therefore, one should begin this process from childhood. Just like modern education system, the children are given some playthings, engineering, I've seen in your country especially, is given railway line, and the so many things. He can understand how a railway system is working or engineering, so that from the very beginning of his life he is getting idea, and he may catch up some line of activities. Similarly, this Krishna conscious education also should be given from the very beginning of life. That is the mistake of the modern civilization. Everyone is becoming engineering, technologies, or medical man, or so many. But the real problem of life is to understand the self. There is no educational system. Throughout the whole world, what is this self? What is its need? How it is constituted? How it is working? So many things. In Boston, there was a Massachusetts technological. You know that? Yes. So I explained that here is a nice technological institute, but where is this technological department? To understand. And so the student very much appreciated it. Actually, this is the defect. We know this will be the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, that there is something which minus this body is useless. But nobody is trying to understand what is that something. There is no technological institute to understand what is that something. Is it not defective? And still they are very much proud of advancement of education. The real thing is missing. We have got all departments for comforts of this body, for maintaining this body. But the thing which minus this body, the body is useless. What about that thing? That is Bhagavad Gita. That is Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is teaching that technology. You should try to understand this. Bhagavad Gita is not technology for the external body. Bhagavad Gita is the technology of the Dehi, which is within the body, which is moving the body, which is keeping the body fit. This body is fit, very nice, very beautiful, very attractive. How long? So long the spirit soul is there. As soon as the spirit soul is off, immediately it begins to decompose. There may be a nice, beautiful young girl. Everyone is hankering after her. But as soon as the spirit soul is gone, nobody will like to accept. Immediately, because useless. So nobody is very serious. What is that thing? And that is Bhagavad Gita. Yes.
Is that with ages then? If the spirit soul is leaving the body, you become older?
No, spirit soul is not old. The body is changing. That is the process. That will be explained. Dehinasmindasadehi kumarajovanam jara tathadehantram prati dhirasattanamayati. But spirit soul is evergreen. The body is changing. That is to be understood. Body is changing. That everyone can understand. Just like in your childhood, your body was there. That is this child, a different body. And when that child will be younger, that will be a different body. But the spirit soul is there, in this body and that body. So this is the proof that spirit soul does not change, the body changes. This is the proof. I am thinking of my childhood. That means I am the same I, which I was existing in my childhood. And I remember in my childhood I was doing this, I am doing that. But the childhood body is no longer. That is gone. Therefore, it is conclusion that my body has changed, but I am the same. Is it not? This is simple truth. So this body will change, still I shall remain. I may enter into another body. That doesn't matter. But I shall remain. Tatha dehantaram prati dhiras sattanamanya. As I am changing my body, even in the present circumstance, similarly, the ultimate change does not mean I am dead. I enter into another. That also explains Vāsāṁsi cinnāni jatā. Just I change. Just like when I was not sannyāsī, I was dressing like any gentleman. Now I've changed my dress. That does not mean that I have died. No, I've changed my body. That's all. I've changed my dress.
Well, miserly persons waste their time in being overly affectionate for family, society, country, etc., and the material conception of life. One is often attached to family life, to wife and children and other members of the on the basis of skin disease. The Kripanas think that they are able to protect their family members from death, or the Kripana thinks that his family or society can save him from death. Such family attachment can be found even in the lower animals, who also take care of children. Being intelligent, Arjuna could understand that his affection for family members and his wish to protect them from death were the causes of his perplexities. Although he could understand that his duty to fight was awaiting him, still, on account of miserly weakness, he could not discharge the duty. He is therefore asking Lord Krishna, the Supreme Spiritual Master, to make a definite solution. He offers himself to Krishna as a disciple. He wants to stop friendly talks. Talks between the master and the disciple are serious, and now Arjuna wants to talk very seriously before the recognized spiritual master. Krishna is therefore the original...
Here is a technique. The same Krishna and same Arjuna, they are talking as friends. Then what was the necessity of Arjuna accepting Krishna as spiritual master? The same Arjuna and same Krishna, they will talk, but what is the necessity of accepting a spiritual master? That means, after accepting spiritual master, he will not argue. He will simply accept whatever he says. That is it. Friendly talks, equal level. Krishna was talking something and he was replying. So that argument has no end. But when he accepts him as spiritual master, there is no more argument. One has to accept whatever he says. Therefore he is accepting spiritual master. After this, Arjuna will never say, this is wrong, this is no, I don't agree, no. He will accept. So acceptance of spiritual master means to accept anything, whatever he says. Therefore one has to select a spiritual master whom he can completely surrender. There is a technique. Veda-vākka, just like the Vedic injunction, nobody can deny. Similarly, spiritual master is also the representative of Veda, ācārya-vān purusha Veda. So, similarly, it is like Vedic injunction. So spiritual master has also got the grave duty. He has to instruct the disciple in such a way that he may not be misled. And that is not possible because the spiritual master is he who will simply speak from authoritative sources. He will speak from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavat, or what was spoken by Narada, Vyasa. That is his authority. He does not say in my opinion anything, no. Therefore, it is perfect. It is coming from the disciple succession. And if one agrees to such instruction, then he is also perfectly advancing. It is not difficult to understand. So, he is accepting. Now I accept you as my spiritual master, you teach me. Is that the statement? Yes. What is that?
He offers himself to Krishna as a disciple. He wants to stop friendly talk. Krishna is therefore the original spiritual master in the science of the Bhagavad Gita, and Arjuna is the original disciple in understanding the Gita. How Arjuna understands the Bhagavad Gita is stated in the Gita itself. And yet foolish mundane scholars explain that one need not submit to Krishna as a person, but to the unborn within Krishna. There is no difference between Krishna's within and without, and one who has no sense of this understanding is the greatest fool, the greatest pretender. I can find no means to drive away this grief which is drying up my senses. I will not even be able to destroy it if I win an unrivaled kingdom on the earth with sovereignty like the demigods in heaven. Sanjaya said, having spoken thus, Arjuna, chastiser of enemies, told Krishna, Govinda, I shall not fight, and fell silent. O descendant of Bharata, at that time, Krishna, smiling in the midst of both the armies, spoke the following words.
So, Arjuna was so serious, and Krishna was smiling. Just see the fool, what he is doing. Therefore, there was necessity of instructing Bhagavad Gita. The fool has to be instructed. Yes, this is. He was smiling. This is childish. He was very serious. Oh, just like sometimes a child is very serious, and the father is smiling. Yes. So now Bhagavad Gita will be spoken. He has accepted Krishna as spiritual master. Now he will teach. So what does he teach? Next.
The Blessed Lord said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor the dead.
Then this is the first person, Krishna as teacher. What is that? Read it again.
Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor the dead.
Yes. Asatyana nisucha stang prajnabhada answer verses. That you are lamenting for a thing which no learned man does. That means you are not learned. But you are talking just like a learned man. What is that? You are talking?
Yes. Yeah. While speaking learned words, you are more.
You are speaking learned words, but your behavior shows that you are not learned. Because you are lamenting on a subject which no learned man laments. And politely he says that you are not learned, but you are talking just like a learned man. That we will find. Dr. Frog, speaking like a very great philosopher, just like here, that Dr. Radhakrishna, that says, it is not to Krishna, but within Krishna. That fool does not know that there is no within or without of Krishna. Rather, Krishna is within and without. That he does not know. And he is accepted as a very great learned man. Dr. frog, not Dr. Anand. This is going on in the world. They are posing themselves as very learned. But this can be detected by devotees, who is learned and who is not learned. Others cannot detect. Others will be misled. The devotees, they have got such eyes to see that they can immediately discriminate who is a fool, who is a learned. It is not necessarily that one has to become pure devotee immediately. Just like we are also following the instruction of our spiritual master. I don't claim that I am pure devotee or perfect. But my only qualification is that I am trying to follow the instruction of the perfect. Similarly, this is called disciplic succession. Just like here it is stated that Krishna is the original spiritual master and Arjuna is the original student. So Arjuna said that sarva me vangritang manne jadvata sikhesu. My dear Krishna, whatever you are saying, I accept in total, in the 10th chapter. I don't make, just like Dr. Radhakrishna says, oh, it is not to Krishna, it is something else. He does not accept in that way. He says that whatever you are saying, I accept. I don't say that you have got a separate thing within that is supreme, you are not supreme. As person. This is impersonalism. Then we do not know that Krishna has no such a conditioned soul, just like we are. I am different from my soul. I am, means I am my body. Or I am soul different from the body. Krishna has no such differentiation. He does not know that. Because he is not following Krishna, the perfect spiritual master. He is following his some rascal spiritual master. Therefore, he has this mistake. But if we follow Arjuna and Krishna, then we get perfect knowledge. We may not be 100% perfect, but as far as possible, if we follow the instruction as it is, that much perfect. And this way, one will get perfection. So, one has to follow the same example, try to understand that a perfect expert technologist or technician or mechanic is working and somebody is working under his instruction. So, this somebody, because he is strictly working under the instruction of the expert, he is also expert. He may not be 100% expert, but his work is expert. Is that clear? Because he is working under the expert. Do you follow? So, if you follow pure devotee, then you are also pure devotee. It may not be one is 100% pure. Because we are trying to raise ourselves from the conditional life. But if we strictly follow the pure devotee, then we are also pure devotee. So far you do, that is pure. So pure devotee does not mean one has to become immediately 100% pure. But if he sticks to the principle that will follow a pure devotee, then his actions are as good as a pure devotee. That is it is not, I am explaining in my own way, it is the explanation of Bhagavad. Mahajana jena gatasya panthya. We have to follow the footprints of pure devotees. It is said that tarko apratishtya. If you want to become pure by your arguments and logic, that is not possible. I may be defeated by another strong man who is stronger in argument than me. So this is not the way of becoming purified. Tarko. Simply arguing. Tarko apratishtya. Sutayo vibhinya. Sutayo, scriptures. Suppose somebody sticks to the scriptures. The scriptures, there are different types of scripture. So, they are vibhinna. Vibhinna means different types. So how we can become purified by even by following the scriptures? Tatko apratishta sutayo vibhinya. Naso munijyasam matangana vinna. Muni means thoughtful, philosopher. If he follow a particular type of philosopher, that is also not perfect. Because I may be under the care of a philosopher, rock philosopher. So, that is also not, sure. Tatko apratishtasutoyo vibhinya naso munijyasa matangana vinna. Dharmasya tattang nihitang guhaya. Therefore, to become pure or to understand the essence of purity is very confidential. It is not to be acquired by our own efforts, by argument or by being expert in scripture or by becoming philosopher, similar way. It is very confidence. Then, how? Mahajana jena gatasya. You have to follow a pure devotee, acknowledged devotee. Similarly, in the Bhagavad Gita, if we follow Arjuna, then you understand Bhagavad Gita as it is. But if we don't follow Arjuna, if we follow somebody, doctor, frog, or create our own interpretation, then we remain impure. So, Mahajana jena gatasya panta. We have to follow the footprints of Mahajana, great soul. So here is, directly, you are meeting great soul, Arjuna. He is directly being taught Bhagavad Gita by the original teacher. Who can be greater authority than Arjuna? So as Arjuna accepts Bhagavad Gita, if you accept Bhagavad Gita in that way, then your study of Bhagavad Gita is perfect. It is very simple. Therefore, I am saying here that Krishna is the original teacher and Arjuna is the original student. See, you follow the original student, you understand Bhagavad Gita. Even Krishna is not present before you. He is present by his words. This is the way of following what is pure. Yes.
Can Krishna give us the ability to someday remember every word that you're saying to us now? Because I myself forget so much. And I want to hear just how you're talking, and I can't.
What is that? I don't follow.
I want to be able to hear you saying exactly what you're saying now. I want to always be able to hear it. But I forget.
Why?
My memory is very poor.
Hello? If you try memory, maybe everything depends on cultivation. If you cultivate something, your memory increases. Everyone becomes expert. Not in one day, but by cultivation. Similarly, if you try to remember, then your memory will help you to remember. It is not difficult. That is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, So we have to try to remember Krishna. He's so beautiful. His instructions are so nice. If we simply remember Krishna, and that was the perfection approved by Lord Chaitanya. I think I have narrated this story. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling in South India, in a big temple, Ranganath temple, he went to see the deity, and he saw one Brahmin was reading Bhagavad Gita. And people were joking him, Mr. Brahmin, how you are reading Bhagavad Gita? Because they were their neighbors, they knew that this Brahmin was illiterate. And he was studying Bhagavad Gita. So they were joking. But the Brahmin did not care them. He was taking the book and in his own way he was reading. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw this incident. He came to the Brahmin. So he asked the Brahmin, my dear Brahmin, what you are reading? So he could understand this person is not joking with me, he's serious. So he explained, my dear sir, I am reading Bhagavad Gita. Unfortunately, I am illiterate. I do not know even the alphabets. Why you are reading Bhagavad Gita? So he said that my spiritual master knows that I am illiterate, but still he has asked me to read Bhagavad. What can I do? Therefore I have taken this book and seeing simply. I do not know how to read. Oh, that's all right, you cannot read, but I see that you are crying. How you are crying if you are not reading? Yes, I am crying, of course. There is cause. What is that? Now, as soon as I take this Bhagavad Gita, I remember Krishna. Krishna is sitting as driver and Arjuna is hearing. I have heard the story. I know something of the instruction, but cannot read. So as soon as I take this book, this picture comes before me and I simply think, oh, how Krishna is nice that he has become a charioteer of his devotee. He is so great. Still, he has accepted a menial service of his devotee. This gives me so much pleasure that I cry. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him. Your Bhagavad Gita reading is perfect. You have taken the essence. So this is the thing. If you simply remember Krishna is teaching Arjuna and Arjuna is hearing, if you simply remember the picture, and that is sufficient. Even if you think that you cannot read. Because after all we have to become Krishna conscious. We haven't got to become a learned man to argue with another learned man. If it is possible, we can do that. But that does not make any difference if I cannot argue with others or if I cannot teach very nicely Bhagavad Gita to others. Simply if I remember this picture, that is perfect. Because we have to become Krishna conscious. We have to simply think of Krishna. You think in any way. Now that is your perfection. Smartabham satato Vishnu. This is the injunction. You have to think of Vishnu. This is samadhi. This is meditation. This is yoga siddhi. Perfection of yoga. So one who has learned to think of Krishna always, he is already on the perfectional state. Aradhita jadi haris tapasa tatakim. if one has come to this stage, just to understand Krishna, the great, the supreme personality of Godhead, and he surrendered, so Krishna, whatever you like, you do, and surrender. This is Aradhana. Then he doesn't require to undergo any austerities or penance. Everything is finished. And Naradhita Jadi Hari Stavasadha King. And if he does not come to this stage, his so-called scholarship, learned argument, this or that, all nonsense. Finished. Useless. One has to come to this stage. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya embraced the Brahmin. Yes, your study of Bhagavad Gita is perfect. Because one has to come to this stage, thinking of Krishna always. So if one does not come to this stage, simply academic education, he says it should be like this, the interpretation should be like this, he's simply wasting time. Prague philosophy. One has to come to this stage. Aradhita jadi hari stavasat atakim, naradhita jadi hari stavasat atakim. So, that is the perfection. Krishna, gopis, if they were cowherd's girl, their father, mother, they are only ordinary village men keeping cows, that's all. What is their education? They are not Vedantists. But they learned to love Krishna. That was their qualification. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu certifies, Ramya Kaji Dupasana Brajavadhuvar Gavija. Oh, there is no better worship than that which was contemplated by the gopis. Because they did not know what is Krishna, but they love Krishna, that's all. They love Krishna, that Krishna, because Krishna was God or Krishna was something great. No. Their natural affection was for Krishna. They could not stay even for a moment without seeing Krishna. That was the quality. This is Krishna consciousness. One has to come to perfect Krishna consciousness somewhere or other. That is perfection. That is everything. If one always thinks of Krishna, then he is perfect. And we should not forget. We have presented so many formulas. Why? Not the formulas are important, but the formulas will help me to remember Krishna always. It's like you are going to sell our magazines. So this magazine selling or taking some contribution is not our business. Our business is that we are spreading Krishna consciousness. People are hearing about something about Krishna. And because we are helping, we are also hearing. We are also benefiting. When you speak somebody about Krishna, then I hear also Krishna. Savanam Kirtanam, the first preliminary step, hearing and chanting is going on. So in this way, we shall take all opportunities so that 24 hours, whether awakened or sleeping, we shall always think of Krishna. That is perfection. This chanting means always remembering Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Cooking, I am cooking for Krishna. I am typing for Krishna. I am going to preach for Krishna. I am distributing back to God for Krishna. In this way, always remember Krishna, that's all. That will make it perfect. Yes.
When we're engaged in spreading Krishna consciousness by either singing or selling back to God, and just speaking with people, through our senses, like seeing or hearing or touching or smelling, our mind gets distracted even while we're engaged in soaring back to Godhead. Then how can we always return to that point of remembering, even though our senses are being dragged by billboard signs and so many
others? No, suppose you are selling back to Godhead. Does it not remind you, Krishna? Does it not remind you about Krishna? What for you are selling back to God? You could sell another popular magazine which could sell very nicely, quickly, thousands of copies. Why are you taking this back to God? For Krishna. You are not for business. You are not ordinary. It is a newspaper seller. Why you have taken back to garden? Your motive is that people may know about Krishna. That is your motive. If magazine selling is your business, you can take any other sense gratification magazine. There are so many. And you can sell, you can make some profit. So, we have to mold our life in such a way that we shall always remember Krishna. Therefore, remembering Krishna is my primary business. And we have to act in such a way that we may not forget Krishna. That should be the principle. That is the secret. Therefore it is equally good for anyone. Because we can engage anyone in the business of Krishna. If somebody has knowledge, he can simply sweep over the floor of Krishna's temple. That will make him remembering Krishna, that I am cleansing the floor of Krishna's temple. He is as good as the editor of Bhagavad. Yes. Yes, just as sleep means your gross senses are stopped, but your mind works, therefore you dream. So if you practice your mind to be engaged in Krishna consciousness, in dream also you'll see that you are preparing prasadam, I am going to sell back to garden. That's all. Sometimes, some nights, when I feel hungry, I dream that I'm eating Krishna prasadam very sunshine. Somebody is supplying me nice paratha, and I'm eating. But being hungry, my hunger is not satisfied. I'm eating it till the dream is end. So, if you practice, this is the technique. We have to practice in this way, that when all functions of this body will be stopped at the time of death, we shall remember somewhere or other Krishna and success. Immediately success. That is the technique.